Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf. We will begin on Daf Kuf Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah, Machlof Parah B'Chamar, if somebody made an exchange, my cow for your donkey. Yolda, and the cow had a child. And the question is, when was this child born? Was it born when it was already in the possession of the buyer, and therefore belongs to the buyer? Was it born when it was in the possession of the seller, and therefore belongs to the seller? Similarly, the Kain Hamoicha Shivchasai, somebody sold his Shivcha, his slave, to someone else, yalled up, and it had a baby. Za Oimer Achle Mecharti, the seller says that the baby was born before I sold. Before the shivcha was sold, and therefore that baby belongs to me. Zaymer, and the buyer says, Mishlakachti, that it only was born after I took ownership. The loch in these cases is, says the Mishnah, Hayachloiku, that they should exchange. The way the Rishonim explained this Mishnah, the type of kinyan that happened here, is because there's an issue. Usually, a kinyan is affected with Mashiach. If a kinyan is affected with Mashiach, so let's see how this animal looked at the time of Mashiach. And because of that question, they explain that here, the way we should understand the word hamachlif, it should be understood that they did a barter. Hamachlif also doesn't only mean kinyan chalipin, it means a barter, and that barter is a valid way of doing the kinyanim, but we don't know at what point the baby was born. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that if two parties agree to the sale of a pregnant cow, then the buyer is entitled to the cow with the fetus. However, if there was no mention of the cow being pregnant, then the buyer is only entitled to the mother cow without a fetus. The Ramah disagrees, and he says that even if there was no mention that the cow was pregnant, if the two parties agree to the sale of a cow and it turns out to be pregnant, the buyer acquires the cow and its fetus. Says, ask the Taz, that our Mishnah seems to support the position of the Ramah. Because according to Ramah, the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the buyer and the seller of our Mishnah that did not at all discuss that the sale involved a pregnant cow. It just evolved a regular cow. And therefore, when the newborn calf is found near the cow, there's room for this dispute exactly when was it born. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, asked the Taz, how do we understand the Mishnah? Because if the parties did not specify that we're speaking about a pregnant cow, then the buyer should not have any claim to the newborn calf. Because the Shulchan Aruch says that even if the calf was born before the sale was consummated, the calf belongs to the seller because it wasn't part of the deal. On the other hand, that if they agreed that the sale involved a pregnant cow, then the buyer certainly should have a claim to this calf because he was promised a pregnant cow, not a cow that just had a baby, but the baby he's not getting. So in order to defend the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, the Tzoyis explains that the Mishnah is referring to a case to which the parties agreed on the sale of a pregnant cow. So certainly the buyer is entitled to receive a pregnant cow, but he's not automatically entitled to get a cow with a newborn calf. And the way the Tzoyis explains, there are three types of cows. There's a cow that is a regular cow, not pregnant. There's a cow that's a pregnant cow, and then there's a cow that is had a baby. The value of a pregnant cow is indeed higher than the value of a cow that is not pregnant. But of course, the value of a cow and its baby is higher than the value of a pregnant cow. And that's the machloikas that they're arguing over here. The buyer says, the seller says, I'm only willing to give you the value of a pregnant cow, because that's what we contracted. And he says, no, since the baby was born before the deal was done, I'm not just entitled to a pregnant cow, I'm entitled to a cow, I'm entitled to the cow and the baby. It's interesting, the Mishnah doesn't use the same wording by the cow and by the shivcha. By the cow, the Mishnah uses the word hamachlev. And when we speak about a shivcha, the Mishnah uses the word hamoicher. So Rashi explains, since metatlin and behema can't be sold with kesef, only mashicha, whereas we said a few moments ago, chalipin, barter, are acceptable means of making a kinyan. So that's why the Mishnah had to say by the cow, as we explained, that it was a case of chalipin. But when we come to selling a shivcha can be sold with kesef. And since a shivcha can be sold with kesef, so then we could understand why the Mishnah just used the word mechira by shivcha, because a regular sale with kesef was the way that kinyan was done. Continues the Mishnah. Hayaloi, the seller has shnei avodim. He owns two avodim, echad gadol v'echad katan. A bigger one and a smaller one, or an adult and a child. He can't stay sodas, or there are two fields that he owns, echad gadol v'echad katan. Halakayach I'm a gadol kachti. The buyer says, I bought the bigger field, and the buyer says, I bought the bigger field, and the seller says, any day. The halacha is zocha begodl. Then this is, as we've been learning many times in our shiurim, this is the halacha of bari v'shema, bari adif. And therefore, here we will favor the person who says that he knows for certain. And if it was reverse, hamoicha oimer, if the moicher says katan b'charti v'chalayim eni yedeya, the seller is certain that he sold a smaller one, and the buyer says, I just don't know, then the loch is, then the buyer is only entitled to the cotton. Again, with the same line of reasoning, bari v'shem bari adif. However, v'zeh megodl, v'zeh mekotan, the buyer says, they're both certain with their claims, the buyer says it was the godl that I bought, and the seller says it was the cotton that I sold, yishav ha-moicher, Shakotan Macher, he should swear that he sold a smaller one, and then the buyer will only be entitled to the smaller piece of property, the smaller evid. If they both claim that we're not certain, the halacha is that Yachloiku, we divide the difference between the buyer and the seller. And I saw that the Rishonim, the Tosfos Arash, points out that these halachas were already mentioned in the Mishnah and Daf Tzadik Zayin Amabeis, all of these halachas. So why is it necessary to teach us these halachas all over again when you have these counterclaims? So he explains that Mishnah that we learned on Daf Tzadik Zayin was referring to a shoyl and a mashal, a borrower and a lender. In that case, we could suggest that the borrower has more of an obligation to know what happened. And since he has more of an obligation to know what happened, maybe the halacha is different. But by moicher and lekeach, since his obligation to know, or his ability to know what actually happened, is much different, so therefore the halacha is, maybe the halacha would be different. That's why our Mishnah repeated that here too the halacha is like we learned over there. But ask the Gemara. Our Mishnah said, the beginning of the Mishnah began, when this event happened, where the cow had the baby, and we don't know when did the cow have the baby. The Mishnah said, Yechloiku, but ask the Gemara, why is that the approach that we take? Why don't we use a different method? In other words, the approach to understand the Gemara now is that a big part of the halacha addresses when there's a suffix, when we're not exactly sure what to do. And the halacha is, under normal circumstances, we don't paskin like sumchas. Under normal circumstances, the halacha is, hamoitzi mechaveroi olav haraya. So if the halacha normally is that hamoitzi mechaveroi olav haraya, here, neither of them is able to bring definitive proof. For if either of them was able to do so, there would be no discussion. So the Gemara, the Mishnah suggested, because neither of them could bring definitive proof, yachloik we divide it. But the question is, the Gemara's question is, there are different methods that the halacha uses when you have these kind of questions. One is, who is the muhsik? Somebody who is a muhsik is considered that it's his, because there's a klal in shas, chazoka ma'at shetachas yoda shal adam shalayhu. Anything that's in my possession is here. There's a question how to approach this question. Some say it's a proof. The proof that I have it, the fact that I have it, is a proof that it's mine. Because why would I have something that is not mine? That's the way some achronim explain this chazaka. Another approach in this chazaka is that it's a birur. The definition of a birur is, as we are discussing, when there is a question, we have a question, the halacha is that the Torah and gives us methods on how to deal with the question. And one of the methods that the Torah gives us how to deal with a question is roiv, following a roiv. And one of the other approaches that we could use is the chazaka, that the fact, the possession, is a birur, is a way to deal with a question. So the Gemara's question is, why can't we just rely on the chazaka of wherever it is, no matter which approach that we follow in looking at a chazaka, but whatever approach we're going to use in looking at a chazaka should be an answer to that question. And therefore, that should be the person who will hold on to the animal, rather than saying yachloiku. And so ask the Gemara, Amai, why does the Mishnah say yachloiku v'lechse b'shust man kaimi? Why don't we see in whose possession this baby animal is? All of Haraya answers the Gemara. Amrav Chibar Avin Amr Shmuel. Amish is referring to a situation by Medes Bagam. It's not in either of their possession. And since it's not in either of their possession, it can't serve as a way to know who owns it. Shivcha Nami, and the second case of the Mishnah when we spoke about the Shivcha, the Shivcha is Kaima Besimta. It's standing in a place off the Rishus Rabbim, and the way I saw the Rishonim explain is that was where they normally had the market, where they sold Shivchas, where they sold slaves, and it's not a place that's owned either by the buyer or the seller. Actually, the Gemara could have said that she was in the Rishus Rabbim, because the same halacha would apply if she was in Rishus Rabbim. But the Rishonim explain, typically, these types of transactions were not done in the Rishus Rabbim. And since typically they're not done in the Rishus Rabbim, the Gemara didn't want to use an example that is unlikely. But ask the Gemara, so now that the chazaka, that kol ma shetachas adam shloihu, anything that's in my possession is mine, is not the approach to follow. So ask the Gemara, we should follow a different approach. V'nechma acheskes marakama. And what the Gemara is suggesting now is that marakama is a way of also deciding whoever was the original owner, until we could prove that he is no longer the owner, he is the one that keeps it. And the Rishonim all point out, and that's the way to understand the way the Gemara works here. The muhsik, the chazaka that you have in your position, is a much stronger chazaka than the chazaka marakama. But once that the Gemara established that there is no muhsik in our Mishnah, because the kaima ba'agma, the kaima ba'simta, so the fact that can't be muhsik cannot be used, so there's a no new way how to explain it. And that's how relying on a cheskes marakama. And the achronim here too explain different ways of understanding a cheskes marakama. Some say it's what's known as a chazaka mikara. You can't take something away from somebody unless you're certain that it's not his. So since I was the original owner of this animal. You want to take it away from me, so the halacha is, you can't take it away from me unless you could prove it. And that's what the Gemara is saying. If I am the Mara Kama, so the way I saw the... So some explain, as I just said, that it's a chazok de mikara, that where it was is where it is. Others explain that the way to look at a cheskes Mara Kama is a cheskes woman, that you... that. If I, you can't extract money from me unless you could prove I owe you the money. And therefore, since you can't prove it, the buyer has to be able to, in this case, be able to prove it. So therefore, the other one is Hamaitz Mechavera Olav Haraya. So again, Tcheskes Marakama could either be a Chazok or the Mikara, that where it was, it's sort of a status quo understanding, or it's understood as a cheskes mamon, you can't make me pay without proving that I really owe it. Answers the Gemara, Hamani, who is going to be the opinion of, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, the Tan of our Mishnah, Sumchasi, Dama Mumman Hamutta Basafik. If there's a question, he says that the approach to take it is Cholkin B'lai Shvua, we just divide it and we don't do it with a Shvua. So the Tosfos asks a question. Our Gemara has now explained that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Sumchas, who, as we just said, and we know from many other shurim, Maman Amut B'Safik Cholkim. The issue with taking that approach is that we normally don't follow the opinion of Sumchas. On the contrary, we normally say, Hamotz Mechaver Olav Araya. So Tosfos asks, why doesn't the Gemara say that even the Rabbanan will here not be able to rely on a chazakah? And the reason the Rabbanan here would not be able to rely on a chazakah is because the animal was pregnant. And since the animal was pregnant, we know it had a baby. And that should contradict the chazakah. And therefore, here everybody, even the Rabbanan, will agree that we follow, that we have to do yachloitu. So the Rishonim answer, Tosfos answers, that what the Gemara is really teaching us is that Cheskes Marakama, with the different explanations how we expand, we understand Cheskes Marakama, is stronger, is a very strong Chazaka. And this is very much the way the Rishonim explained the theme of our Gemara. The way I saw that the Rishonim approach our Gemara is that, as we said earlier, the subject under discussion here is, we have a question. And when we have a question, we don't know what to do. And since we don't know what to do, the halacha gives us different approaches, what to do. So there's cheskes, there's muchzik, there's cheskes marakama, there's cheskes muberes. They're all different types, they're different ways of approaching this question. And what the Gemara is saying here is, that the Cheskes Marakama is a very strong chazaka, stronger than anything else. And that's why the Gemara legitimately asked, why don't we follow the Cheskes Marakama? To which the answer is, it's a great question, but our Mishnah is following, says the Gemara, the opinion of Sumchas, that says, Maman Amut B'Safik Cholkin. But ask the Gemara, Eim Adam Sumchas, when did Sumchas say his halacha, that Maman Amut B'Safik Cholkin, in a situation of Shema V'Shema, when both of the claimants are not sure, like we learned at the in Masechta Baba Kama, the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama Daf Mem Vav Aman Aleph speaks about Shor Shenogach Hasapara, where an axe attacked a cow, V'Nimtza Ubra Meis B'Tzida, and the dead fetus is found there. Veni Yidu, and we're not certain, in Machmas Nagichas Parames, did it die because of this attack, or did it die because it miscarried? So both parties in this litigation are not really sure of what the facts are. But in the case, Bari Vibari, we begin learning our Mishnah again. Our Mishnah spoke about a case where both parties, the seller says the baby belongs to me, the buyer says the baby belongs to me. Is that a case that me, Omar, that Simchas also still say in that case that the halacha is that Yechloiku? And as I saw, Rashi says, so instead of explaining that the Reisha is speaking about a case of Bari Vibari, why don't we say that the Sefer is also that the Reisha is also speaking about Shema Vashema, and therefore, since it's a Shema Vashema, even we could say that Sumchas will say Yachloiku. So Rashi explains, because the end of the Mishnah speaks about a case of Shema Vashema. If the proper way of understanding the Reisha of the Mishnah would also be a Shema Vashema, so why would we need the case at the end of the Mishnah? We already know it from the beginning of the Mishnah. And therefore, the Mishnah has to be speaking about a Bari Vibari. And now we have a question. If the Mishnah, the Reisha, is speaking about a Bari Vibari, how do we apply Sumchas's concept of Yechloiku? And says Rabbi Aaron Kotler Zatzal, in explaining why did Sumchas only say his opinion by Shema Vashema, not by Bari Vibari. So he explains that Sumchas says his explanation where Bezdin has a question. When they're both Shema Vashema, so this is a question that everybody has. And the way it's explained in halachic terms, there's no drawer of the memoina. It's a question that everybody has facing this situation. In such a case, Simcha says, since everybody doesn't know what to do, the loch will be yachloiku. But when it's a situation of bari v'bari, so to the buyer and seller, there's no question. Now Bezdin doesn't know how to deal with their claims. That isn't the reason to say yachloiku. Amar Rabbi Rav Huna in. Rabbi Rav Huna disagrees, and he says that Omer Sumchas, that Sumchas says his opinion of Yachloiku, afilu b'bari b'bari, even in the case of bari b'bari. Rav, however, says, loylam ki Omer Sumchas. Sumchas did not say this, only by Shema v'Shema. Rav, loylam ki Omer Sumchas. When did Sumchas say his halacha of Yachloiku? Only in the case of Shema v'Shema. Bari b'bari, v'loy Omer. In a case where both are certain with their claims, he did not say his halacha of Yachloiku. The Tani, Zayim Shema Achla Mecharti, the case of our Mishnah, the way Sumchas is explained in the Braisa, each one is not certain when the mother had the baby. Zayim Shema Achla Mecharti, Zayim Shema Mishlakachti. Maybe the baby was born before the sale, and the other one says maybe the baby was born afterwards. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we learned at the end of the Mishnah, Zayminei Dei, they both don't know for sure Yechloiku. So says the Gemara, Bishlam L'Rava, the way Rava is going to explain the Mishnah, Medesefer Shema V'Shema, that the Sefer Shema V'Shema, Reishanam Shema V'Shema, and he's going to say the whole Mishnah speaking about cases of Shema V'Shema, even though it carries with it a question, as the Gemara will teach us, why do we have to have twice the same halacha? El Rabbi Rav Huna Dama Ein Amas Sumcha Afil Bari V'Bari, that Simcha said is halacha of Yoichloik even Bari V'Bari, Hash the Bari V'Bari. So ask the Gemara, and we're going to explain as we're saying that the Reish is speaking about a case of Bari V'Bari, and Simchas is still saying that even in a case of Bari V'Bari, Sumchas holds that the halacha is Yechloiku. So certainly, if he holds that way by Bari V'Bari, Shem V'Shem V'Bari, and the question of the Gemara is, why would the Mishnah need to repeat the halacha at the end, which was already spoken about at the beginning? Answers the Gemara, Im Shemha, that isn't the question. Tana Sefer L'Gluy Reisha. The Sefer complements the Reisha. Shalai time, one shouldn't say that the Reisha is talking about Shem V'Shema. And that's why the halacha is Yechloiku. Ava Bari Bari. In the case of Bari V'Bari, we don't say Yechloiku. Therefore, says the Gemara, Tani Sefer Shem V'Shema. The Sefer speaks about Shem V'Shema. Bechlal, to teach us that the Reisha is speaking about Bari V'Bari. And even though the Reisha is speaking about Bari V'Bari, still the halacha is Yechloiku, that they should divide it. But if we wouldn't have the Sefer speaking about a case of Shema V'Shema, we would make an argument that the Reisha is only a case of Shema V'Shema. But were it to be a Bari V'Bari, Sumchas would not say Yechloiku. So we deliberately brought into the Mishnah a case of Shema V'Shema to help us understand the Reisha. Says the Gemara, Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah, the second case of the Mishnah, where the seller had two avodim, one as a gol and one as a cotton, and we don't know which one was the one for sale. Zayim a gadol, the buyer says, I bought the bigger one. Zayim a cotton, and the seller says it was the cotton. Yishava ha-meichesh cotton mocher. He should swear that it was the big, smaller one that he sold, and he won't have to. And the buyer will only be entitled to the cotton. Bishlam l'ravod amaki amasumchus. The word at sumchus say yechloiku only in the case of shema v'shema. Al bari v'bari loyamar. In the case of bari v'bari, sumchus does not say yechloiku. So the mission is well understood. Mishum hachi yishava. That's why you'll swear, and that's it. And then we'll say once he swears with certainty that this is what happened, the buyer now becomes hamotz mechaver all of araya, and he won't be able to claim. El Rav Barhuna d'Amar in Amas Sumchus Afilu Bari v'Bari. That Sumchus is halach of Shem of Yachloiku, even as in a case of Bari v'Bari. So why in this case does the Mishnah say Yishava Moicha? If our Mishnah is following, as we just said, that by Sumchus always says Yachloiku, and our Mishnah is following the opinion of Sumchus, so then the Mishnah said that in this case, Yachloiku Meboilei. Answers the Gemara, Moidesh Sumchus, Hechadeke Shvua Deraisa. In a case where the Torah demands a Shvua, there Sumchus agrees that we don't say Yachloiku. Sumchus will agree that there you swear and you won't have to pay. Because the Ravid explains why. Because if it'll turn out that I have to swear, and also Yachloiku, I lose 50%, that means I would have two chiyuvim. I would have two obligations, both to swear and to pay 50%. And that's not something that the Torah Chazal do. The Ramban explains that once the Torah obligates him to make a shvua, and the Torah is saying, what the Torah is saying, says the Ramban, is make the shvua and be free. Shvua, the sumchus, cannot go against an express din that the Torah taught us. If the Torah taught us that under these circumstances, what should be done is make a shvua and that'll be it, so then sumchus can't say we'll make a shvua and then still lose 50%. We learned in the Mishnah, as we just discussed, ha'yilo shnei avodim, the seller had two avodim, ech gadol v'ech katan, a gadol v'ech katan, and there's a dispute which one was sold. The Mishnah, the halacha is that he swears, and as we just explained, why does he swear? Because it's a ma'ida b'miksas. It's not like the seller is saying, "I didn't sell you anything." He's admitting that he sold something. He's just saying that what I sold was the gadol, not the cotton. And as we learn very often in our shiurim, the halacha is that when you're a ma'ida b'miksas, the Torah says you have to swear. But ask the Gemara, why should this be considered? Ask the Gemara, why should this be considered a case of ma'ida b'miksas? Amar yishava, what is ma'ida b'miksas? The case of ma'ida b'miksas is always where you say, I owe you $100, and I agree that I owe you $50. But here, a gadol and a cotton, a slave that's a gadol versus a slave that's a cotton, is not the same at all. And the halacha is that ktana chitin, if you claim that I owe you chitin, that I owe you wheat, for hoidle besoirim, and I agree that I owe you barley, so that's not a claim that I have to pay for at all. Masha, because Masha Tano, what you're claiming, I'm not agreeing to. Masha Adelai, what I'm agreeing to, Loi Tano, you're not claiming. So why is this considered even a question of Tana Chitin for Adelai? Why should this be a case where of Moida Bemixis? Answers the Gemara, avoid, and the Gemara says another question. Helichu, the halacha is, as we learned at the beginning of Masecht on Daf Dalad, when we have a case of Moida B'miksas, and the other person, the person who's admitting, is ready to give what he owes right away, then that's called Heilich, and that isn't called Moedim Amixis. He just pays what he owes, and there's no Moedim Amixis Shvua. Void, moreover, Einish Bon Al Avodim. We don't make a Shvua on Al Avodim. The Halacha is, as we learned earlier in the Torah, when the Torah speaks about the obligation to make a Shvua, the Torah introduces the Parsha, V'kiyitin Ish Al Re'ehu, Kesef Akelem Lishmar. And we learned the Gemara earlier in a Masechta, that the way to understand this on Daf Nun Zayin on a base was with a klal prat the klal. Kiyitin ish el reyu is a klal. Kesav a kalem is a prat. Lishmar is a chaz of a klal. And we know klal prat the klal. I at the don el kain a prat. Ba prat mefurish, if we look at the kesav a kalem, a dova matatl, they're movable, the gov for a moment, and they have value. The halacha of the shvuah b'moidim b'miktsis is also only a dava metaltin l'gufin mamin. Yotze kakos, that excludes real estate, shei metaltin, which are not movable. Yotze avodim, shok shle kakos, could be called a Torah kula, avodim are treated like kakos. So the Gemara's question is that how could the Mishnah have suggested that we should make a shvuah? This is a case of karka, of avodim, and by avodim there's no shvuah. Answers the Gemara. The way to understand the Mishnah is they're not arguing over the actual avodim, but rather what they're arguing over, says Rav, Amar Rav, they're arguing b'tayna demei. They're arguing over the value. The buyer says, you owe me, I paid you demei eved gadol, the value of a eved who's a gadol, and the seller says demei eved katan, or demei sadeh gadol, or demei sadeh katana. So it's not on the actual Eved or the actual Karka. The Machloikas is over money, which is a case of Moedim Amixis, And therefore, it's not the question that it's an Eved falls away, and the question and therefore that's the answer. Says the Gemara of Shmuel Amar. Shmuel has a different way of explaining the Mishnah. Shatanuk Sus Eved Gadol, that the argument is over the clothing of an Eved Gadol versus the clothing of an Eved Katan. And then when we speak about a field, also, where they're arguing, was it a large field or a small field? They're not talking about the actual field. They're talking about the Omri Sada Gedoyla, the wheat that's gathered together on a large field, the Omri Sada Ketana. So, of course, the question is, why wouldn't this be a case of Halach? So take what I owe you. And we just said that in the case of Halach, it's not Moedim Amixis. So we're going to have to explain the Rechorinim, that we're speaking about a case where the bundles, not only am I the seller, saying it was the bundles of a small field, those bundles got ruined. And since those bundles got ruined, so we don't say Halach. But as the Gemara, Nada was saying that the dispute by the Eved is not over the Eved, but we're speaking about the clothing that's on the Eved. So again, ask the Gemara, if that's the way to understand the Mishnah, sus mashatana loy haidloy, mashadaloy loy tanoy. We're talking again, apples and oranges. Because you're talking about a large garment, the garment of an Eved Gadol, and I'm speaking about a small garment. I'm speaking about the garment of a small Eved. So again, it's two different things. It's chitin and tsayrim. Answers the Gemara Kar Amar Papa, as Rapapa is going to explain, the case is speaking about a dalfi. It's a big garment that it's made out of pieces, and you could take and add and detach all pieces according to the size of the person who's going to wear the garment. Hachanami, we're speaking about dalfi, so it's not two different types of garments. It's one garment that has different parts that could be added or taken off. Says the Gemara, a different question. Shmuel just explained that the case of our Mishnah is that they're not talking about the actual Avodim, they're talking about the garment of the Avodim. So ask the Gemara, Kashle Rabbi Yishya, Midik Sus Ketani, did the Mishnah speak about garment? Look at the words of the Mishnah, asks Rabbi Yishya. Eved Ketani, we're talking about the actual Eved. Elo Amar Rabbi Yishya, Kigoyin, Shatanai Eved B'Ksusai, that the machloikis here between the buyer and the seller is that the buyer says, you sold me an eved wearing a garment. You sold me a field b'mreah with the grain still on the field, stacked in the field. And the seller says, no, I only sold you a small eved with his garment, and I only sold you a small field with the grain stack on it. So even though the halacha is, that, as we just said, einish bom al avodim kakos, here the shvua is not only the eved. The shvua is not only the karka. The shvua is on the grain, which is no longer growing out of the field. The shvua is on the clothing. And that's why they're arguing. But again, ask the Gemara, but why is this a good teretz? And once we're swearing on the clothing, and once we're swearing on the omrim, we're also going to swear on the eved and on the field. But ask the Gemara, the question that Rabbi Shia asked is still here. Ksus, the garment of an eved godel is not the garment of an eved cotton. Ksus, mashatanaloi, haidaloi, mashatanaloi, latanaloi. It's chitim and tsayrim, it's apples and oranges. To which Rav Papa responds that we're speaking about a case of dalfi, and it is the same garment, that it just has different sizes. But ask the Gemara, so what is the basis of Rav Moshe's explanation of the Mishnah? That we're speaking about that the Shvua is not primarily on the Karka and on the Eved, because Einish Bon Al Karkos, Einish Bon Al Avodim. The Shvua is because they're arguing over the Ksus, over the clothing, they're arguing over the bundles, and that also makes you swear on the Eved and the Karka because of Gilgal Shvua, which, as we said, is based on a pasuk by a Soita. When a Soita is brought to the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen makes a swear that she didn't have an adulterous relationship, the Torah Kedoshah says, V'amar Isha Amen Amen. And the Gemara explains that the Shvua is, Shinejba, she swears, Shaleisinsa Shaisanasua, V'gam Shahisa Rusa, that she didn't have this type of relationship both when she was in a Nesua or a Arusa. And the explanation is that even though a woman who is an Arusa cannot become a Saita, but now that she's being brought as a Saita, and she's being brought as a Saita, as a Nesua, we also already make a swear for what happened when she was an Arusa, which is a way of explaining Gilgal Shvua. So ask the Gemara, this concept of Gilgal Shvua is a halacha that we learned many times. And therefore, ask the Gemara, Kashla Rav Sheshes, Zoykikin Asla Shminin, is that what our Mishnah is coming to teach us, the halacha of Gilgal Shvua? Tanina, we've already learned the Mishnah Masechta Kedushin, that the Mishnah says, Zoykikin Menachosim She'en LaMechrayis, as Menachosim She'esh LaMechrayis, L'shav Aleihem. Menachosim She'en LaMechrayis is another way of saying Metatlin. The chosum sheyesh lemachrayis is another way of saying karka, and the Mishnah over there says that as we're learning in our shiur now as well, that ein nishbon al karkos, we don't make a shvuah on a karka. The Mishnah, however, does teach us that once we make a shvuah on metatlin, now we're also going to make a shvuah on the karka as well, because as we just learned, the concept of Gilgal Shvua. So ask the Gemara, so if the basis of the explanation of Rav Oishia and our Mishnah is all connected to the concept of Gilgal Shvua, ask the Gemara, this halacha of Gilgal Shvua is a halacha that we've already previously learned, the Masechta Kedushin. El Amar Rav Sheshes, because of these questions, Rav Sheshes takes a different interpretation of our Mishnah. Hamani, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Rameya here. It follows the opinion of Rameya. Dama avdik matatlan dami. And we do make a shvua even in avodim. But ask the Gemara Vakati. Masha tanaloi hoidaloi or masha hoidaloi tanoi. It's still apples and oranges. They're not speaking about the same thing. Why would that be a moida mixus? Answers. The Gemara, he's also going to hold Savalakra Gamliel, he's going to hold like a Gamliel who teaches us, the Tanan, who teaches us in the Mishnah, and Masechta Shavuot, Staf Lamed Ches on the Beis, Tana Chitim, and Hoidalei B'Soirim, Potter, because it's not the same claim. And Rav Gamliel says that you do make a Shavuot, even in such a Moedim and Mixus, even in such a case. Akati, but asked the Gemara, but so he's ready to give him the small Eved. So if he's ready to give him the small Eved, or he's ready to give him the small bundles, so that's a case of Halach that we learned at the beginning of our Masechta on Daf Dalid, that in the case of Halach, you just give it and you don't make a Shvua. Akati, why is this not considered Halach? Answers the Gemara, this seller in our Mishnah agrees that he owes him the smaller Eved, but he owes him a healthy small Eved. And by the time he agrees that he owes the Eved, what happened in our Mishnah was, Omarova, but after the Kataliyadeh, his hand has been removed. So you can't say Halach, because that's not the Eved that even the seller agrees that he owns. And the same thing, Besada, it's speaking about a Sada, the Chafa Babar Sichna Maris. So that's not the Sada that he owes. Ask the Gemara, how can we say the Rameya holds that Avda Kematatlin? But ask the Gemara, Rameya Epcheshamin Allah, we see Rameya holds differently. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Baba Kama Dav Tzadik Vava Mabez teaches us, Gozal Behem Veskino, somebody stole an animal and it got old under his ownership. Or Avadim Veskino, or Avadim and they got old, Mishalim Kifi Shasa Gzela, that the Loch is, that the Torah Akdosha says, Veishiv has a Gzela Asher Gozal, you have to pay as it was at the time of the Gzela. And the Tanakhama says, if it was not, if what you stole is not Kain Shagazal, it's not anymore like it was when you stole it, then you have to give the value it had at the time you stole it. Ramey says that indeed when we speak about a behema, you pay Kshas Gzela, but he says when you stole Avadim, Oimeloi, you could say, Hareshel Chalef Fanecha, that just take it away it is. And the explanation that Rishonim give is because Avadim are like Karka. And just like by Karka, if you steal Karka, you could say Hareshel Chalef Fanecha, so too, you could say that by Avadim. So we see that according to a mayor, Avadim are kikarka and not like Metatlin. So how could you say that Ramea and our Mishnah holds that Avadim are kikarka? Answers the Gemara Hale Kashla. That isn't a question. Kremachle of Rabbi Baravua, as Rabbi Baravua reversed the opinion of Tanya, Ramea Aymer Mishalm Kishask Zela, that you pay by Avadim, you could say a racial chala for Necho, just like that by Avadim, you have to pay what they were worth at the time, because they're like Metatlin. And it's the Chachamu who say that by Avadim you say Reisha Cholof Anecha, because Avadim Kekarka. But ask the Gemara a different question. You are saying that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya, who holds that you do make a Shvur and an Evid. We're going to continue, and when the Mishnah continues speaking about Karka, we're going to say that you make a Shvur on Karka. My, the Sovra Meir Makshin Karka Levid, what makes you say that Eved and Karka are treated the same? Ma Eved Nishbon Av Karka Nishman, and therefore the entire Mishnah will be able to follow the opinion of Rameya. And Rameya says, you make Shvu on Eved, you make Shvu on a Karka. Says Rameya indeed holds, Dilma Eved Hud Nishbon. He agrees you make a Shvu on an Eved, but Al Karka, we don't have any proof that that is his opinion, says the Gemara Loisakadatach. It doesn't make sense to differentiate, according to Rameya, between Avadim and Karka. The Tanya Machla Parabachamor, the case that we began our shiur with today, when we had this exchange of the Parabachamor of Yalda, the Cain, we had the case of Mecha Shivchas of Yalda, Zamer Bishusi, this one says that it was in my ownership when this happened. The Zesh Shaisik, the other one is quiet. Zacha, it's a bari v'shema. Zemani dev is emani deya. But if both aren't certain when happened, yachloiku. Zemani b'shusi, v'zemani b'shusi, both come with a tainas bari. Yishava meicher b'shusi yolda. Let the meicher swear it happened under his ownership. Because the halacha is, he's a moid of a mixus. And the halacha is kala nishban shabatari nishban v'le mishalnim. The Torah tells us you swear and you won't have to pay divra meya. V'chama oimrim, isn't this a proof? And says the Gemara. So you wanted to differentiate, according to Rameya, between avodim and kakos, here we see that that indeed is not the case. And Rameya's opinion actually is, that we treat avodim and kakar, and by both of them, the halacha is that you can make a shvua. Says the Gemara, like says the Ramai, Dilma Kishen Kamrle, maybe the Chachamim meant to say to Rameya, Kehechas to Eidus Lanu, but kakos, just like you agree by kakar that you don't make a shvua, Eidul Nami b'avodim. You agree that you don't make a shvua in avodim. Teda, I'll prove to you that Rameya, even though he will hold that you make a shvua by avodim, will hold einish bon al kakos. The Tanai Rameya, I'm yesh dvarm shen kakarka, ven kakarka. There's some things that are connected to the ground, but the halacha doesn't treat them that way. V'cham oidim loy. And the chum don't agree. Ketzad, esen t'kifonim natuas masarati l'cha. When somebody says, I sold you, I gave you 10 grape wines with grapes in them. V'la'ama, and the other one says, en elam b'chamish, only 5. Remei m'chayiv, he says it's a shmoid of a mixus. V'chama ka'a m'chub l'karka, anything that's collected to the ground, I rake a karka. V'am rav yosu b'chanina, anavim ha'boid, what is the machloikus? Avonim ha'moidus l'botzer ikubinayu, grapes that are about to be cut. The mayor saw the kibbutzurus damya, they already looked like they're cut, and therefore the tree like metaltlin. Or masava, lav kibbutzurus damya, they're not considered like they're cut. But what do we see from here? It's only because they're about to be cut. That's why Rameya considers them like metaltlin. But if they weren't about to be cut, even Rameya would agree we don't make a shvua. Why? Because even though Rameya says we make a shvua on avodim, he does agree that we don't make a shvua on even though he holds that we make a shvua on avodim, he doesn't hold that we make a shvua on karka. So in understanding this Gemara, the Ritva tells us like this. If these are grapes that don't need any nourishment from the ground, everybody will agree they're considered katlushin. If they need the ground still to nourish, everybody will agree they're considered like karka. We're speaking about a case where they are ripe, but they will have benefit from being connected to the ground, are they considered different? This is only, explained Tosfos, a question in our Gemara regarding Shavua on these grapes. Are they considered like karka or not? As far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, it's certainly considered mechuber, connected to the ground. And if somebody were to detach from the ground, and novim ha'omnim libotzer, grapes that are about to be cut, he would certainly be a Mechal Shabbos. And the Tosfos Rosh says a beautiful explanation. He says that all the Melachos and Shabbos are learned from the Mishkan. Now in the Mishkan, they cut things from the ground. They didn't only cut things that didn't need, that weren't ready to be cut. They cut even fruits and vegetables and whatever that were ready to be cut. And yet it was considered a Melacha on Shabbos. Another point Tosfos makes, that the halacha is that if somebody, Rechman Slon, passes away, so his Yesoimim have to pay his debts. But even though the halacha is that his Yesoimim have to pay his debts, the Gemara often in Shas teaches us that you only have to pay the Yesoimim, we only collect from Yesoimim from Karka, not from the Taplin. Says Tosfos, grapes that are ready to be cut are considered like the detached from the ground, and Yesoimim are not—they're not collected from the Yesoimim. So we're back to our question: how are we going to explain the Mishnah? That the Mishnah is speaking about a case where they're arguing about an eved in with his garment and a field with the piles on it. On the Kashaloch, and the question was that the basis of this teretz was built on Zoykikin. And the Gemara asked that the halacha of Zoykikin, we already learned in Sech, the Kedushin Itzrich. Salkadat chamina, ksus ha'eved ke'evedami, that the garments that ever wear should be treated like the eved. And oimri sadek should be considered like the sada. And if you don't swear in the eved, and you don't swear in the sada, you don't swear in the clothing or on the oimrim, kamash malon, that it's not that way. That we learned further, the price is a zeh min hideya, v'zeh min hideya, yachloiku. Says the Gemara, ha mani, whose opinion does this represent? Whenever we have a question, Cholkin. Ask the Gemara, Eima Seifa, let's continue learning the Braisa, Zahar Rishusi. The Zahar Rishusi, both the buyer and the seller say the baby was born when they were in ownership of the mother. Yeshava Meichesh Rishusi Yalda. The Meichesh should swear that the baby was born before the sale took place. But ask the Gemara, and he won't have to pay. He'll keep the baby. But ask the Gemara, even a case of Bari Bari, Sumchas says, Yechloiku, Amai, so why does the Braisa say Yeshava and Meicher? If we're following the opinion of Sumchas, Yechloiku Mabaya. Says the Gemara, Mai the Sumchas, as we said earlier, Hecha, Dekeshvu the Raisa, we don't say Yechloiku. And we also have to say that it's talking about a case, the kata liyada, where the animal's hand was removed, or the oimrim got ruined. Otherwise, it would be a case of halach, and therefore we have to explain that too is part of what happened in this braisa, as Rava taught us earlier in the shiur.